AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Everybody is bracing for the ice apocalypse. The weather forecasters are no doubt giddy that they have so much attention right now. And we here in Texarkana, just like many, many other places that don't get a lot of cold weather, people freak out. My friend Randy Lucas just sent me a little meme of somebody putting a loaf of bread on eBay, trying to auction it off, saying, hey, I know what I got, no lowballing here. So we do get kind of freaked out, and not to minimize it, I woke up praying for the people in harm's way, praying for us in Texarkana as they're expecting lots of freezing rain. I know Tupelo's expected to get lots of freezing rain. Tim Wildman told me yesterday, he said they're basically expecting 24 hours of freezing rain, which can create all kinds of trouble. So we just pray that everyone would stay safe and that the Lord would be gracious to us. The scripture that I always go back to, it's a passage of scripture that every Christian needs to know. Psalm 46, verse, it's just 11 verses, verse 1 through 11, but it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Don't fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah, that means to pause. Pause there. And so we don't need to be afraid. The end of this psalm says, cease striving, which means to let go and to relax. King James, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. We can pause there and just marinate in that. And so the Lord is abundantly available to help when we're in trouble, a very present help in trouble. So we don't need to be afraid. We need to plan accordingly, but we don't need to be afraid. And so that is a good word in any situation, because as Psalm 46 verse 2 says, we're not going to be afraid, even though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. I mean, that is massive change. But even in that, we don't need to fear. A friend of mine from a long time ago, Chuck Sugar, had a song that said, fear not, only believe. It's what Jesus told Jairus when they told him, your little girl is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. The little girl isn't dead. She's only sleeping. And then Jesus raised her from the dead. Well, I was thinking this morning as I was driving into the studio, I was thinking that, you know, it was almost to the day 46 years ago that I understood how desperately I needed Jesus, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus in my bedroom by myself. I had gone to a Young Life meeting. I heard a testimony of a guy in his later 20s, about 10 years older than I was. And I talked about just his life as a football player and drinking beer, chasing girls, carousing, all these things. And then he talked about being convicted of his sin and the Lord coming into his life and him surrendering his life to Jesus. And it was that night, I heard that testimony, and that night I went home, and all alone in my bedroom, I had an encounter with the Lord where he really convicted my heart. You know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And I was convicted that I was a sinner. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Jeff, you want to go to heaven, but you have no basis to go to heaven. And, you know, if you were to die right now, you wouldn't go to heaven. And so I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, I didn't understand a whole lot. I mean, I knew that Jesus was God in the flesh. I knew he died on the cross. I knew he rose again from the dead. I believed all that in my head. But that night, I just prayed a simple prayer, but I meant it, and it was from the heart. And I said, Jesus, save me. And he did. He saved me, and my life began to change. And that was January, late January. It was on a Monday night. It's either the 21st or the 28th. I was looking at a calendar from January online today, and I think it was the end of the month, the 28th. So my 46th year anniversary, birthday, spiritual birthday, is coming up. But that set me on a path, changed everything in my life. I was, as it says in Colossians, he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I went from darkness to light. I went from death to life, and everything began to change. Now, just like with any new believer, I didn't know anything. I had to learn. I didn't know much at all about the Bible. I knew Bible stories, little stories about Jesus feeding the 5,000 or walking on the water or something like that, but it was not connected to anything, didn't have context at all. And so I started to learn and started to grow. The Bible says, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. And so I began to grow, and the more I spent time with the Lord, and the more I spent time in his word, and the more I spent time in prayer, and the more I spent time with other believers, and the more I spent time with believers and brothers in the Lord that were much further along than I was, the more I learned and the more I grew. And so here I am today, 46 years later, and I know way more today than I did 46 years ago. But I want to tell you something. I ran across something just this week. It was Tuesday, as a matter of fact. I was listening to a sermon, and I ran across something, and I said, I have never heard that before in my Christian life, in my entire Christian life. And I wasn't hearing it from a crackpot. I wasn't getting some new revelation from Candace Owens, who told us recently that Charlie Kirk is a time traveler. It wasn't that kind of outlandish, ridiculous thing. This was from none other than Dr. John MacArthur. And he pointed out something that I had never heard anybody say before, and it just makes so much sense. Now, it's controversial. It's not universally agreed upon, but it makes so much sense. And this is what he said. The mother of James and John, you know, the two sons of thunder, they were part of the big three, Peter, James, and John. The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, is a lady named Salome. She's talked about in the Gospel of Mark, and she is the sister of Mary. And I had never heard that before. I said, well, where does it say that James and John, that would make them cousins of Jesus, that James and John, their mother, I mean, the Bible clearly says that James and John are the sons of Zebedee, the two sons of Zebedee. They're in a fishing business with Peter and Andrew, their brothers. And where does it say that their mother was Jesus' sister? Well, it doesn't say it in those words, but here is what you can piece together. And I'm going to show you how this makes a lot of sense and how the Bible is so cool when you find these things, because it all fits together. It talks about at the cross, you know, Mary was at the cross. Woman, behold your son, behold your mother. She was there at the cross, and it says many women were looking on from a distance. This is Matthew 27, 55 and 56, who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. That's little James, little James. There were two guys named James that were part of the 12 disciples. So this is little James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now, we know Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, but it names these three: Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It doesn't mention her name, but it just says that she was there. Now, it says in John chapter 19 and verse 25, it says, therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Some commentators said, who was Mary the wife of Clopas? Well, she was also the mother of little James and Joseph. And so we see here that at the cross of Jesus, we had Mary, and we had Mary's mother's sister. And we read in Mark chapter 15, toward the end of the chapter, Mark 15, verse 40, there was also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, or Joseph, that's that same woman, probably the wife of Clopas, and Salome. Who is Salome? Well, Salome is Mary's sister. Salome is the mother of James and John. It says in Mark 16:1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. So those three women are mentioned again, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus. So here's why it's so cool. And this is what I just love this about the Christian life. You know, you learn things, you're like, wow, I never knew that before. Give you an example. Old Testament. David had Joab and his two brothers. That Joab was his general. And he would get frustrated with those guys, and he said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? You would read that in different times in the accounts, in the 1st and 2nd Samuel, of David. Well, the sons of Zeruiah was David's sister. Joab and his two brothers, Joab the general, David's general, was his nephew. The Bible never says, now Joab was David's nephew, but you read it and you find out, hey, David's sister was Zeruiah. He calls them the sons of Zeruiah. They're related. Now, this is why it's pretty cool and it fits together that James and John, their mother, Salome, was Jesus' aunt, the mother or the sister of Mary. Because in Matthew 16, James and John get their mother, Salome, to go before Jesus and to ask that these two sons of hers could sit on his right and on his left. Why would they get their mother to do that unless their mother were related somehow to Jesus? And she was. She was his aunt. I believe that. And then also it makes sense when Jesus on the cross said to Mary, his mother, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Well, that's kind of strange. Why would he do that? Doesn't make sense unless you understand that that was John's aunt and John was Mary's nephew. And Jesus' brothers hadn't believed in him yet. James, the half-brother of Jesus, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. They hadn't believed in him yet, so it would make sense for Jesus to say to John, take care of Mary, and Mary, this is now your son who will take care of you. Isn't it cool how the Bible fits together? Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and just an encouragement today for Friday that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about some current events and some things that are important with what's going on in our world, and then we'll open up the phone lines for calls. Love to hear from our listeners. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. I want to just encourage you with preborn. We've been talking about preborn this week on American Family Radio, and our goal is to save 5,000 babies. You know, preborn is the answer to and the direct competitor to the abortion industry. It's the largest provider, preborn is, of free ultrasounds in the United States. And by letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life is doubled. So we are encouraging our listeners to get involved, to go on AFR.net and make a donation to help save, to provide an ultrasound, help save the life of a baby. And so $28 provides one free ultrasound, $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life, because preborn is committed to not just trying to save the baby, but trying to lead that mom to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Debbie and I gave a gift to save 10 babies, and you know, maybe you could follow suit with us and go online afr.net, or you can call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. And for those who are able, there's a leadership gift. You could buy an ultrasound machine for preborn. That's a $15,000 gift that will sponsor a life-saving ultrasound machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. We had Roxy on yesterday, the executive director of preborn, and she said an ultrasound machine will last about 3 to 5 years. And, you know, technology is always changing, so you're kind of, those things have built-in obsolescence in them. But 3 to 5 years, think about all the babies that could be saved as mothers see their baby and hear the heartbeat. So encourage you to join us in that. It's a worthwhile endeavor, and blesses the heart of the Lord when we stand up and speak up for the unborn and do what we can, put our money where our mouth is and do what we can to save babies from the destruction of abortion, so satanic and so evil. Okay, so we were talking about the revelation that I had. You may have heard that before. I'd never heard it before, that there's good plausible evidence that James and John, the sons of thunder, the two guys in the big three, Peter and James and John, that were the closest to Jesus during his earthly ministry, they were the guys that got to go on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took Peter and James and John with him. So he had the disciples and then Peter and James and John that were closer to him. And then he went about a stone's throw from them. And remember, he told them to watch and pray that they may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And all the guys were sleeping because they were tired from grief, the Bible says, because they knew Jesus was departing from them. He had told them, let not your hearts be troubled. He said to them, John chapter 14, because I'm going away. Believe in God, believe also in me. So it makes sense that Peter, or that James and John were related to Jesus, his cousins, and that their mother, Salome, was the aunt, the sister of Mary, and the aunt of Jesus. And so it makes sense that they would ask their mom, hey, mom, go talk to Jesus. Ask him if we can have to be on either side of him at his kingdom. And so if she's some rando, doesn't really make sense. But if she's his aunt, Mary's sister, it does make sense. And so here is what she says to him. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? That was the cup of suffering. Remember, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And they said, we are able. And Jesus said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. How dare they do that? Now, why were they so mad? The apostles had a problem. The 12 had a problem. You know what the problem was? They constantly argued about this subject. Who is the greatest? Three different times in Scripture, we're told about this squabble that they had among themselves, who is the greatest. At the Last Supper, the last night of Jesus' ministry, as he's going to be arrested and then delivered to the cross, they're arguing about who is the greatest. And so Jesus said to them, and so the 10 were indignant that the brothers had beat him to the punch, so to speak. Man, why didn't we think of that? We could have done something like that. Now they're going to get a leg up on who is the greatest. And Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. The world works this way. Self-promotion. And flaunting your authority in the position that you have. He said, it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Hey, do you want to be great? Do you want to be great for the right reasons? Some people want to be great for themselves. Oh, look at me. Look how great I am. Look what I have achieved. Or do you want to be great for the Lord? Do you want to be as Jabez in his prayer? Lord, bless me and bless me indeed and enlarge my territory and put your hand on me and keep me from evil. Lord, I was made for more and I want to do more. Not for me, but for you, for your glory. Whether then you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do you want to be great for you, or do you want to be great for the Lord? Do you want to be able to present to him when he comes again? Do you want to be like the guy with five talents who made five more, the guy with two talents who made two more? They were both excited to meet the master. Look, master, you entrusted this to me. You entrusted five talents to me. I made five more. Look, master, you entrusted two talents to me. I made two more. And they were excited. The guy with one talent that did nothing, who was probably upset that he got so little compared to these other guys, he's buried it in the ground. He wasn't excited about the master coming back. I knew you to be a hard man. You reap where you didn't sow, and you scatter, you gather where you scattered no seed. You're basically a thief. And so here, I buried it in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. Just so insulting. We don't want to be like that. I want my life to count all it can count for Jesus. I hope you want that too. And the key to greatness in the Lord's kingdom is humility, is to serve. It's to know that whatever God's called you to do, you can do it in the strength and the power of the Lord. You know, some people think, you know, they're all that in a bag of chips, and other people, they constantly think so negatively about themselves. And you know what those two people have in common? The guy that thinks more highly of himself than he ought to think, and the guy that thinks more lowly of himself than he ought to think, both those guys are thinking about self all the time. One is a form of pride that we all can recognize, and the other is an inverted form of pride. But neither one are humility. Humility is not thinking too highly of yourself. It's not thinking too lowly of yourself. It's just not thinking about yourself. It's thinking about the Lord and how you can do the Lord's will and present to him a heart of wisdom and present to him whatever talents that he gives to you. Five talents, two talents, one talent. Even if you only have one talent. Look, master, you entrusted to me one talent. I made one more. Because regardless of what you start with, if you use it for the master's glory, then you're going to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." So that is the lesson for today. For your heart and for my heart, I shared this yesterday with our guys. We have every Thursday, Man Up, and we've been doing this now for years and years and years, probably 10 years plus, that we've been having Man Up, and talk to them about the key to greatness. Hey, if you want to be great, and the Lord, he wants us to be great, great men, great women of faith. The key is humility, because God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Isaiah 66, the Lord says how great he is. He made the heavens and the earth. And how did he do it? He did it through the power of his word. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one will I look. This one, God says, I'll take notice of, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, lowly of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Do you tremble at God's word? When you open the word to read it, when you open the word to teach it, when you open the word to preach it, do you remind yourself, this is the living word of the living God? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's the word of God that we get to read. It's the word of God that we get to memorize. It's the word of God that we get to meditate on. It's the word of God that we get to share with other people. Isaiah chapter 55 says, for as the rain and snow fall down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Hey, when you're in a situation where you want to speak a word for the Lord to a friend, a neighbor, somebody that doesn't know Jesus, or somebody that's really struggling, have some scripture tucked away in your heart, things that you can share with them, because they can forget your words, but they don't forget His words. And His word never comes away void. It will always succeed in the matter for which I sent it, says the Lord. And so Romans 15:13 is a great verse to share with people. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I responded to a friend today on Facebook that had had this long post that somebody had written, and she put it on her page, and it was just about condemning anybody that stands in support of President Trump and what's going on in our nation, and you know how Christians are just into power. If you support Trump, you're just into power. And it's just is so, we have such a huge divide between the left and the right, and people that believe lies and people that are saying, hey, I want to be rooted in truth. And all this stuff going on in Minnesota, it's just insane. J.D. Vance had a great quote. He's talking about ICE, and he's talking about what's going on in Minnesota. This is what he had to say.
So when I talk about lowering the temperature, those are the two things that we want those local authorities to do. Help us find sex offenders and get them out of their community. And again, this is bonkers. Think about this. If you've got a neighbor who's a sex offender and somebody wants to go and take that person away, I'm going to raise my hand and say, yes, please, get that person away from my children. What is wrong with Minneapolis authorities? They so hate the idea of enforcing immigration laws that they're telling their people not to get sex offenders out of their community. It's crazy, and it's why we see so much chaos in Minneapolis, but not elsewhere.
Yeah, somebody had pointed that out on a CNN panel. They said, hey, do you want the chaos to decrease in your communities? Said, just cooperate with ICE. Have your law enforcement cooperate with ICE, and then you'll see this chaos go away. It's when you fight the feds who are trying to enforce federal law and trying to make the community safer for Americans. That's when you have all the trouble. We're living in such an upside down world, and people are seeking personal greatness, as was the lesson this morning. Hey, if you want to be great, great in the Lord's eyes, you have to humble yourself. You have to seek His face. You have to do His will. You have to walk in His ways. And His ways, as I shared yesterday, His ways are never rebellious ways. They're never out protesting, screaming in people's faces, disrupting church services, acting a fool. That's never the Lord's way. But it's always the devil's way. And so we need to answer the question that Moses posed. Who is on the Lord's side? I hope you and I are on the Lord's side, and I hope those who support the lunacy from the left will stop and consider, well, wait a minute, which side am I on? Which side does match up more closely with Scripture? And get on that side. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. And we are up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, can be related to what we're talking about today, or just something that's on your heart and mind, I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. A great testimony for preborn. And just I want to encourage you to give a gift. $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides 5 free ultrasounds. $280, 10 free ultrasounds. Our goal is to help save 5,000 babies as we partner with Preborn. So consider, go online and consider a gift, afr.net, or call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Your gift, even of $20, no matter what it is, it will help save a life and help a mother hear the gospel and hopefully put her faith and trust in Jesus. Well, we're opening the phone lines. We like to do that in the last segment, and we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, comment, something on your mind and heart that you would like to share and ask, I'd love to hear from you. And we have the phone lines are ringing, so we have David from Virginia on the line. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture verse that you quoted before, the like two breaks ago, was I believe from Psalm 46.
Yes, sir.
Ever-present help. Have you ever heard of a woman named Mary Barrett?
I have not.
All right. She's going to be with the Lord. She died of cancer years ago. She was a musician for a church, Calvary Chapel, I don't know where, but out near the California area. And she did a song called God is Our Refuge, and it's about that verse. And it's on the Vanishing Point album. She was making that album as she was sick, and they literally had to carry her from the hospital to the recording studio.
Oh, wow.
Because she was so weak. But yeah, excellent album, great song. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, David. I'll check it out today, and yeah, I'm pulling it up here on YouTube. So I'll take a listen to it, and I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. God bless you, brother. We have Kelly on the line from Arkansas. Kelly, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, I love your show, and I really want to see what you think about how we're dealing with Israel as a church and also as a nation, where we should be. I know we're not supposed to blindly accept everything they do and vice versa, but just how do you feel about, are we doing enough as the nation or as the church? And what should we be looking at? Because I hear people on both sides, either they're saying something about the way Israel has fought this war or the way we're going to deal with them in the end time. So it's, I mean, I believe the Bible. I believe we're supposed to really love them and pray for them. But, you know, where should we be, honestly?
Yeah, great question, Kelly. Well, I think we can, good and godly people can disagree in terms of the degree of how much we are to help and support Israel. I think the support needs to be there because God has said, Genesis 12, when at the beginning of the nation, coming from Abraham, and he wasn't even Abraham yet, he was Abram, and he says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, he's talking about my friend Kirk Cameron. I love Kirk, but he quoted this and said, that's not a nation, that's a person. He's talking about Abram being the father of a nation, and that nation is Israel. Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel come from the 12 sons of Jacob, as the Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. So we support Israel in terms of saying, okay, God has a special plan for them, and we want to be a blessing to them. We don't want to curse them. That doesn't mean that they do everything right. They were still God's people in the Old Testament when they were doing wrong, and the prophets would come and would blister them and saying, you know, you need to repent. But they didn't abandon them. They didn't say, well, you know, Israel's terrible, so we're not going to support you. No, they were Jews. They loved Israel. And as we're commanded in Scripture, Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jesus is one day going to rule and reign on the earth from Jerusalem. And so we support Israel. And I think the, Kelly, I look at it this way. Your heart needs to be in for Israel. And when we read about things going on with Israel, it doesn't mean Benjamin Netanyahu does everything right. It doesn't mean that the Jews are right on every situation, every decision. But it means as a whole, you support them. Think about like with your own family. You know, I support my kids, my wife and kids. That doesn't mean that I think everything they do is right. But I'm always going to fall on the side of supporting them and being in their corner and encouraging them. And that will never, ever, ever change. And I think that's the heart we need to have as a nation, as individuals, and then as a nation for Israel. And the Bible makes it clear that there's coming a day when Israel is going to stand alone. Nobody is going to support them. And in America, we support Israel because there are a lot of Christians in America and a lot of Christians that understand Genesis 12:3 and that God tells us to do this. And Israel has a special place in God's economy and in God's in prophetic promises. Israel, God's not done with Israel, Romans chapter 11. And so when the rapture comes, you take the Christians out, especially as it relates to America. Well, America is going to go with the rest of the world, and they'll be against Israel. I was listening to somebody that was just talking about the fact that you don't hear any protests from the crowd that was protesting for free Palestine and gays for Gazans and all that stuff. They're not saying anything about what's going on in Iran. The selective outrage is just hypocrisy off the scale. But why is that? Because they don't care what goes on in Iran. They only care when Israel's involved because they hate Israel. They're against Israel. It's all demonic. The devil hates Israel. And why is that? Because God has made promises to Israel. The devil wants to destroy Israel because if he can destroy Israel, then God's promises are null and void, and God becomes a promise breaker. He couldn't keep his promises, and then God would cease to be the faithful God who reigns forever. And so the devil is trying so hard to destroy Israel. As Mike Huckabee said on that clip when he was on Jenna Ellis's program, Mike said, dear friend, he said, you know, if God doesn't keep his promises to Israel, then how would I think he would keep his promises to me? And if Israel, the things that he has said about them are not going to come true in the future, well, then maybe what he said concerning my security is not coming true either. And so everything falls and collapses like a house of cards if the promises that God made to Israel don't come true, because he is faithful and true. The Bible says in the book of Romans, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. So kind of a roundabout way of answering, Kelly. I hope that is helpful. It's hard to pinpoint, but it's more of a heart attitude, I think, of support for that nation than maybe every specific thing. Does that help?
That's great.
All right, brother. Thanks for the question. I appreciate it. Well, we have Lee on the line from Texas. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've spoke to you a couple of times, you and your wife have gotten advice. Today, I just really want to make a comment because I listen to AFR all day long. Mm-hmm. And this world is good. I used to visit a nursing home, and I bumped into a pastor there one time, and it's going exactly like the Bible says. You just made some comments about nobody will be standing with Israel at the end. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And like Abraham Hamilton III says, he says it quite often, until I see some handcuffs come out and somebody be held accountable, like for going in these churches and things, mm-hmm. I've got to see it. I'm so tired, Pastor Jeff, of it's never going to end. I mean, they won't, you know, Something's got to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree, Lee. You know, people are getting upset with Pam Bondi because it's like, why are you not arresting these people? And hopefully we just need to keep praying. You know, I don't know a lot about her personally. You know, I want to believe the best about her and things. But you see so many in so many senators, so many congressmen, like, why are you not getting more done? For instance, things like voter ID laws, those guys on Capitol Hill, they need to make that into law, that so that our elections can't be compromised and so that states can't manipulate things. Otherwise, I mean, we lose our country if we can't be confident that the vote is going to be fair and safe and secure and, you know, true. And so things like that are very infuriating. And people that break the law, they need to be held accountable. We hear from the left all the time when they were going after Trump, no one is above the law. Well, Nancy Pelosi and those like her that have made so much money off the stock market, you can say, well, it's hard to pin things on her. I mean, something's rotten in Denmark when she performs better than any of the other you know, stock market houses, and she's made, you know, untold millions of dollars on the stock market. You know, it's insider trading, obviously. Now, you may have trouble proving it, but it's obviously true. And so things like that, those things need to be uncovered. I've said for a long time, Lee, that I heard this from John MacArthur, so true. Truth and time go hand in hand. Given enough time, the truth always comes out. When I was selling for Waste Management right out of school, my second job out of college, I was a salesman for Waste Management Incorporated, and they had a rule on the landfills. You can't put car tires in the dumpsters. And I said, why is that? They said, because car tires, you can't bury them. They always come to the top. And so that's why you can't put them in the landfill. And so the truth is like that. You might try and bury it with lies, but it's always going to come to the top. So I appreciate the call, Lee. God bless you, brother. We have Claude on the line from Oklahoma. Claude, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
and
sir.
I don't agree with interfering with any church service, but it seems funny that they can interrupt a church service, yet they don't go to the Catholic Church where Nancy Pelosi goes to protest her view on abortion, or in Minnesota to go to a mass because of the fraud embezzlement of billions of dollars. So it just seems that they're picking and choosing. I just wanted your comment on that. If they're going to justify that in the name of that.
Yeah, oh, great comment, Claude. Yeah, it's the selective outrage is just repulsive. And so they're very upset about Renee Good, and everybody agrees that was a horrible tragedy. It's very preventable. She shouldn't have been there. She shouldn't have been doing what she was doing. And the officer that was involved in her death wishes that had never happened. No doubt. No law enforcement officer wants to see something like that take place. But the selective outrage, Irina Zaritska, the young Romanian girl that got stabbed in the neck by that guy on the Charlotte light rail, nobody is concerned about her, doesn't seem. Nobody on the left concerned about her when a person in this country illegally rapes and brutally murders a mother of five. They're not concerned about her, but they're very concerned about Renee Good. It's all selective outrage. It's all repulsive. But it's all, the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one, and the devil is involved in this up to his eyeballs. And so we need to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, and to know what's going on. And pray to the Lord of the harvest. He is over it all. Pray to the God who sits on the throne, because he is the one who makes a difference. Hey, stay safe, shine and share, and trust the Lord no matter what. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.